On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when the wine had run out, Mary came to Jesus and said, "There is no more wine." So Jesus says to Mary, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? It is not my time yet." Mary then spoke to the servants and said, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." Now, at this wedding, there were 6 stone jars, and they could hold 20 to 30 gallons apiece, and they were used for the rites of the Jewish people in their washings. And Jesus told the servants to fill them with water, and they filled them right up to the brim. Then he told them to take and draw out of them and take it to the head waiter. And so they took and drew from the stone pots, and they took it to the head waiter. Now, the water had become wine, but the head waiter did not know that, although the servants did know how it had turned into wine. When he tasted it, he looked for the bridegroom, and he said, "Usually, you serve the best wine in the beginning, and then when everyone has drunk quite fully, then you serve the poor wine. But you have waited and given us the very best wine at the last." Now, this was the beginning of signs that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, where he manifested his glory and his disciples believed in him. And that's the second final story.
He was a Jewish, he was a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish council. And one night he came to talk to Jesus after it was dark. And Nicodemus said, "Teacher, we believe that you have come from God because nobody could do the miraculous signs you're doing unless God had sent him. God was with him." And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." And Nicodemus said, "What? How can a man who's old be born again? Can he enter his mother's womb a second time?" And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Why are you surprised that I say you must be born again? It's like the wind. You hear it, but you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. It's like that with everybody who's born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus said, "What do you mean?" And Jesus said, "You're Israel's teacher, and you don't understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and what we've seen, but you people don't accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things. How then will you believe if I speak to you of heavenly things? Nobody has ever gone up to heaven except for the one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life."
I was really weary from the walk. It's about 12 noon, so he sat down next to a well. And his disciples went into the nearby town of Sychar to buy some food. Soon, a Samaritan woman came out to draw water. And Jesus said, "Woman, give me a drink of water." And the Samaritan woman said, "How is it that you, a Jewish man, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink of water?" And Jesus said, "If you knew the gift that God wants to give, and you knew who it was that was speaking to you, you would ask him for water, and he would give you living water." And the woman said, "Sir, the well is really deep, and I see you don't have anything to draw water with. So where are you going to get this living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it himself, along with his sons and his flocks and his herds?" And Jesus said,
I tell you, anyone who drinks from this well will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks this living water will never get thirsty again. In fact, it'll be like a spring of living water flowing from inside up to eternal life. And the woman said, I want this water. And Jesus said, okay, bring your husband here. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you're right in saying you don't have a husband. In fact, you've had 5 husbands, and the man you're with now isn't your husband. And the woman said, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship God here on this mountain, but you Jews say that we're supposed to worship down in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, woman, I tell you, the day is coming when it won't matter where you worship, either on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know, but we Jews worship what we do know, because salvation comes from the Jews. Those who will worship the Father will worship him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. And the true worshipers that the Father seeks are those who worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said, I know that Messiah is coming and he will explain all things to us. And Jesus said, I tell you, I am he. Well, about that time, Jesus' disciples came back from the town with the food, and they saw Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman, and they didn't dare ask any questions like, why are you talking to her? Or, what does she want with you? The Samaritan woman put her jar down by the well and went back into the town, and she told everyone, come out and meet the man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And many people from the town poured out and came to the well where Jesus was. And they urged Jesus, come, stay with us. And Jesus and his disciples stayed in Sychar for 2 days. And many of the people said, at first, we believed because of the woman's testimony. But now, we've heard it for ourselves. And we know that this man truly is the Savior of the world. And Jesus and his disciples went on their journey to Galilee.
I'd like to give a little background to the story that I'll tell. In the story, there are 2 cities mentioned. One is Cana, and the other is Capernaum. And the distance between Cana and Capernaum is about 40 kilometers. And this is the story from God's Word. Jesus came to Cana of Galilee where he had turned the water into wine. And there was an official who was living in Capernaum, and his son was very sick. And when the official heard that Jesus had come to Galilee from Judea, the official went to Jesus and begged Jesus to come and heal his son. Jesus said, unless you people see signs and miracles, you will never believe. But the official pleaded with Jesus, come before my son dies. Jesus said, go your way. Your son will live. And the official took Jesus at his word and went towards his home. And as he was on his way, servants came and met him. And they said, your son is getting better. Official inquired, about what time did he start to get better? And the servant said, at 1 yesterday afternoon, the fever left him. And the official knew it was at that very hour that Jesus had told him, your son will live. And the official and his entire household believed on Jesus. And this was the second miracle that Jesus had did after he returned from Judah to Galilee. And that's the end of the story.
Story from God's Word. Jesus went to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. And in Jerusalem, there's a special pool. It's called Bethesda. And Bethesda was surrounded by 5 areas or porches. And in those porches
blind, lame, and paralyzed people lay waiting for the moving of the water. And they waited because sometimes an angel would come and touch the water, and whoever would step into it first, after the angel touched it, would be made well of whatever disease he had. There was an invalid there, an invalid man, who had been sick for 38 years lying there in the porch. And he was too weak to care for himself. Jesus saw that man lying there, and he knew he had been sick a long time. Jesus asked the man, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man replied, "Sir, when the angel comes, I have no one to put me into the pool. While I am coming, someone else gets there first." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath, and it was a holy day of the Jews. And the Jews said to the man, "It is the Sabbath. The law says you cannot carry your bed." And he said to them, "Well, the man who made me well told me, 'Pick up your bed and walk.'" And the Jewish men asked him, "Who is this man who said, 'Pick up your bed and walk'?" But the man who had been healed did not know who it was, because Jesus had slipped away into the crowd. Later on, Jesus found the man he had made well in the temple. And Jesus said to the man, "You are made well again. Sin no more, or something worse may happen to you." And the man left and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. And that's the story. This is a story from God's Word. Jesus went across Lake Galilee. A big crowd of people was following him because they saw the miraculous signs of healing that he had done. And Jesus and his followers went up on a hillside and sat down. And Jesus looked out over the crowd, and he turned to Philip, and he asked, "Where can we buy enough bread for all these people to eat?" Jesus already knew what he was going to do, and he asked Philip to test him. Philip said, "We would all have to work a month to buy enough bread for each person to have just one piece of bread." Another follower, Andrew, said, "Well, there's a little boy here with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, but I don't know what good that's going to do with this crowd of so many." Jesus said to his disciples, "Ask the people to sit down." And Jesus said to them, "Tell everyone to sit down." And the 5,000 people sat down on the grass. And Jesus gave thanks for the bread, and he broke it, and he passed it out to all the people. He did the same with the fish, and everyone ate as much as they wanted. When they were finished, Jesus did not want anything to be wasted, and he instructed his disciples to gather up the fragments that were left over. And his disciples gathered up 12 baskets of fragments. The people realized that God was at work among them in what Jesus had done. And they said, "This is the prophet who is coming into the world." Jesus understood that they were about to come and force him to be their king. He made himself go away. He took refuge again, alone on a mountain. That's the story.
And the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting listening to him. They'd come from every village in Galilee and Jerusalem and Judea. And the power of the Lord was present for Jesus to heal the sick. And some men came in carrying a paralytic on a mat, hoping to get to Jesus, but they couldn't because of the crowd. So they took him up onto the roof and lowered him down through the tiles into the crowd right in front of Jesus. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralyzed man, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Now the Pharisees and teachers of the law thought to themselves, "Who is this fellow who's blaspheming? For only God can forgive sins." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, why do you think these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? But so as you know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. And immediately the man got up in front of everyone, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. And everyone was amazed and praised God. And they said, today we have seen marvelous things.
We're rowing their boat across the lake, and they came to it. Their boat landed at the shore at a cemetery. And Jesus met a man there who had an evil spirit. And this man was really strong because of the demons. People had put shackles and chains on him, but he would break the chains and smash off the shackles. And he would run about in the hills and in the tombs day and night, yelling and screaming. And he would cut himself with stones. The man who had the demon saw Jesus at a distance and started to run towards him. And Jesus said to the man, evil spirit, come out of him. And the man fell on his knees before Jesus and yelled at the top of his lungs. He said, Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what do you want with us? I beg you, don't torture us. And Jesus asked the man, what is your name? And the man who had the demon said, our name is Legion, for we are many. And they begged Jesus, please do not send us out of this region. And nearby on a hill was a herd of pigs, about 2,000 pigs feeding. And the demons begged, please send us into the pigs. And so Jesus gave permission, and the spirits came out of the man, went into the pigs. The pigs went wild, ran down the steep hill into the lake, and they all drowned. Now the people who were looking after the pigs ran into the nearby countryside and villages and told people to come out. And when the villagers came out, they saw the man who had the demon seated, fully clothed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had been eyewitnesses of what had happened told the people about what had happened to the man who had the demon and what had happened to the pigs. And the people begged Jesus, please go out of our region. And so Jesus got into the boat to leave. And the man who had the evil spirit, came to him and begged to please go with him. And Jesus said, no. Go back home to your family and tell them all that God has done for you, how he has shown mercy to you. And the man who had the spirit, evil spirit, went to the 10 towns in that region telling people everywhere what Jesus had done for him. And people were amazed wherever he went. One piece of background you're going to need to understand. At this point in Jesus' ministry, Herod, the ruler in Galilee, had beheaded John the Baptist. Okay? John the Baptist is already dead when this happens. Jesus went away by himself to pray. His disciples, however, were nearby. And Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, who do the crowds of people out there say that I am? And they answered, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, and others say that you're Elijah, and some say you're one of the prophets from long ago come back from the dead. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Messiah sent from God. And Jesus strictly warned his disciples, do not tell anyone who he was. And then he said this. He said, the Son of Man will suffer terrible things. He will be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he'll be killed. But on the third day, he'll be raised back to life. Later, he told the crowds this. If anyone wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake will save it. What good does it do if a man gains the whole world, yet forfeits his own soul? I tell you, anyone who is ashamed of me and my words in this generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, and in the glory of the Father, and in the glory of the holy angels. But I tell you, there are some here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God.
Jesus told this story. There was a man who had two sons. And one day the younger son came to the father and said, "Father, give me all the property that belongs to me." So the father divided his estate or his property between his two sons. A few days later, the younger son got all of his things together, took all that he had, and went away to a foreign country. And there he wasted his money on wild living. And after he had wasted all of his money there, a famine began in the land. And he, the son, began to be in need. And he became hungry in his belly. And he went and he hired himself out to a man there to work in his field. He worked to feed pigs. And he longed to fill his belly with the same corn husks that the pigs were eating, but nobody gave him any. So one day, he came to his senses, and he said, "How many of my father's servants have enough food to eat, more than enough food to eat? And here I sit without anything. I sit here starving. I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to say, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he went back to his father. And when he was coming to his father saw him from a distance and was filled with compassion for him. And he took off and he ran towards his son. And he threw his arms around him and he hugged him and he kissed him. And his son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son." And at this point, the father said, "Quick, servants, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put sandals on his feet and a ring on his finger. For this my son was dead and is alive again. Let us kill the fattened calf and have a feast and celebrate. He was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was out in the field, and he came over to the house and asked one of the servants, "What is all this? I hear dancing and music. What's going on?" And the servant said to him, "Your younger brother has returned, and we are celebrating with the fattened calf because he has come back safe and sound." The older brother, when he heard this, refused to go in. So the father came out to the older son and pleaded with him. And the older son said to him, "I have slaved and worked for you all these years, and you have never killed even a goat for me and my friends. And yet this son of yours, this younger brother of mine, he wastes your money on harlots in another country. And he comes back, and you greet him with a celebration and with a fattened calf?" And the father said, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. It was right that we should celebrate and kill the fattened calf. For your younger brother, he was lost and is found. He was dead and is alive."
Jesus was walking along, and he saw a man who was blind from birth. His disciples said, "Rabbi, was it because this man sinned or his parents sinned that he is born blind?" Jesus said, "Neither. It wasn't the man nor his parents, but it's so the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is still in the day, because night is coming when no man and work. While I am in this world, I am the light of the world." And then Jesus spat, and with it he formed mud, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man, and he said, "Go, to the pool that's called Siloam, and Siloam means sin, and wash yourself there. And the man went, and he washed his eyes there, and he came back, and he was seen. Now the neighbors, and those who were familiar with him, said, wasn't this the blind man that used to sit and beg? And some of them were saying, yes, it is the blind man. Others were saying, he looks a lot like that blind man. And the blind man himself were saying, I am the blind man. Then they said, well then, how did your eyes get opened? He said, the man that is called Jesus, he sent me to the pool of Siloam. And he said for me to wash. And I went there and I washed. And I came back seeing. Okay, well then, where is he now? And he said, I do not know.
One day, a teacher of the law had this question for Jesus. He said to him, teacher, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, well, what does the law of Moses say? How do you understand it? And this teacher of the law said, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, that's right. Do this and you'll live. But that man wanted to justify himself. So that teacher of the law said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So, Jesus told this story. He said, one day, there was this man going down the road, and he was waylaid by bandits, and they beat him up, and they took his stuff, and they left him there half dead, naked, and bleeding on the road. And along came a priest from the temple, and he saw that man lying on the road, and he went by on the other side of the road and passed by. And soon there came a Levite, a servant in the temple, and he saw that man lying on the side of the road, and he too passed by on the other side of the road and went on. But finally, a Samaritan came by, and he saw the man lying on the road, and he had pity on him, and he stopped, and he went over, and he poured oil and wine on the man's wounds and bandaged him up. And he put that man on his very own donkey. And then this Samaritan took the man who had been beat up by the robbers to an inn. And he took care of him there. And the next day, it was time for the Samaritan to go on. And he said to the innkeeper, please look after this man until I come back. And when I do, if you've had any extra expenses, I'll pay those too. He took 2 silver coins out and paid the man in advance before he left. When Jesus finished telling the story, he said to the teacher of the law, so which of these 3 was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the bandits? And the teacher of the law said, that's right, the guy who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, yes, you go and do the same thing. I have another story to tell you.
Okay.
All right, there were 3 siblings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And one day, Lazarus became very ill. And so the sisters sent a message to Jesus, who was far away in another town. And Jesus received the message that Lazarus was very ill, but he waited 2 days from the time he heard the message till he set off for their town. By the time Jesus and his disciples got to the village, Lazarus had been dead and buried 4 days. Martha came out to meet Jesus on the road outside the village, and she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know, even now, that God will give you whatever you ask. And as the 2 of them talked together, Martha made this confession. She said, I believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God who was to come into the world. Soon,
Mary came out, and she fell at Jesus' feet. And she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, there were Jews who had come to mourn, and they came out, and Mary was weeping, and the Jews were weeping, and Jesus wept. And some of the other Jews who were there said, see how Jesus loved Lazarus. But some of them said, couldn't Jesus, who opened the eyes of the blind, have kept this man Lazarus from dying? Soon they all went over to the tomb. Now the tomb was a cave that had a big stone rolled in front of it. And Jesus said, roll away the stone. But Lord, Martha said, he's been in there 4 days and it's going to smell very bad by now. And Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So, the people rolled the stone away. And then looking up to heaven, Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I say this so that those here will hear me and they may believe that you have sent me. And then in a loud voice, Jesus called out, Lazarus, come out! And that dead man came out of the tomb, and his hands and his feet had cloths on them, and his face had a big cloth on it. And Jesus said, take those grave clothes off him and let him go free. And because of this, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary saw this, and they put their faith in Jesus.
I'd like to give just a little bit of background before the story. When they gave special meals in Jesus' time, meals were served on a low table, and the guests reclined on couches with their heads close to the table and their feet away from the table. And here is where the story from God's Word begins. It was 6 days before the Passover, and Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived. This was the same Lazarus that Jesus had raised from the dead. The people there gave a banquet for Jesus. Martha served. Lazarus reclined at the table with the other guests. Then Mary came with a pint of nard, a very expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and then wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. And the fragrance filled the entire house. Now one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who would later betray Jesus, objected and said, this perfume should have been sold and the money given to the poor. It is worth an entire year's worth of wages. Now Judas said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He was the keeper of the money bag, and he helped himself to the contents of the bag. Now, a large crowd of Jews heard that Jesus was there and came to see Jesus and Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. But the chief priests planned to kill Lazarus also. Because of Lazarus, many were coming to and believing on Jesus.